The agri-hood is one approach to what I call kind of the local food movement. It's people trying to ensure the integrity of their food by getting your food from people they know. And you, as that neighborhood, have control over how it's produced.
Farm-to-table living, a neighborhood that would be based on community and doing life with people and wellness. And so I'm reading this description of this agri-community, and I look at my husband, and I'm like, we will live here.
We set out on a journey over 7,000 miles ago because we wanted to learn as much as we could about the agri-hood lifestyle. And what we quickly realized is why more and more people are choosing healthier and sustainable communities over traditional or conventional subdivisions.
The biggest difference would just be the sense of like-minded people. We all want our kids to be outside, fishing, climbing trees, you know, visiting with the animals, being in touch with reality, being in touch with nature, eating healthy food. I mean, there's really no comparison. There's nothing quite like what we're experiencing here.
You're dialed into the perfect podcast. This is Agri-Hood Radio. Everything you need to know about the farm-to-table lifestyle.
Hey, good morning, Diana. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Excited to have you because you guys are doing something pretty cool there at Rodale Institute. We saw the documentary Sustainable, which is available on Netflix right now, and that was a huge eye-opener. And we're very impressed with the segment they had on Rodale Institute. So I wanted to catch up with you and share with us what's going on there. Tell us about the history and what you guys are doing and the vision you have.
Absolutely. So Rodale Institute, we're a leader of the organic agriculture movement. For our organization, we've actually been around for 70 years, and we're considered the birthplace of the organic movement, especially in North America. Today, we spend a lot of our time focusing on doing research on organic agriculture and also education, so training farmers, working with consumers about how organic is a solution to some of our human health crisis, climate change, all these issues we're seeing with clean air, clean water. It's all connected to the food on your plate. So that's what we're really focused on, but we do have a really interesting history. Our founder, his name is J.I. Rodale. He started talking about organic back in the 1940s, which is kind of hard to imagine because it's really just gaining a lot of momentum recently. But he originally came up with this concept back in the 40s is when farming started using a lot of synthetic inputs, started putting these synthetic fertilizers on the fields. He just really questioned, how can we turn these toxic chemicals, these poisons, into healthy food for our families? That just doesn't make sense to me. And he started asking these questions and decided we really need research behind this to start answering them. And that's how the Rodale Institute was born.
Awesome. You know, this is going to be great for our listeners because, as you know, we have the Agri-Hood Living farm-to-table lifestyle blog. We're looking for an Agri-Hood for our family. And the folks listening right now, the people listening right now can gain knowledge and awareness because a lot of the communities right now are looking for ways to improve their crops. And there's also people listening right now who want to go work in an agri-hood on the farm. And then you have the residents who want to make sure that the food they're eating is clean, healthy, and safe for their family. So the whole concept of agri-hoods is to provide people healthier lifestyle options. So let's get right down to bare bones basic, because there might be some confusion, because I am one of those people who tend to gravitate towards organic foods. But when it comes right down to it, Diana, what is the bare bones definition of organic?
That's such a great question. I would say organics really starts with soil health. A lot of times we talk so much in organic about the things that we don't do. So in organic, you're not allowed to use any synthetic fertilizers. You can't use GMOs. You can't use synthetic pesticides and herbicides. So we're not using glyphosate and Roundup. Those are definitely really important parts of the organic movement. I would say some of the stuff I'm really excited about organic inorganic is all the things we do do. So we really think about farming with nature. So cover cropping and doing a diverse crop rotation, using compost, encouraging biodiversity on the farm, pollinators. These are all really important parts of the organic movement. And the way that you can know if something is organic, there's actually a certification program. So if you've ever seen in the grocery store or supermarket, there's USDA certified organic seal. If you see that seal, you know that that farm has gone through an independent audit and process that says that they're farming this way.
Right. So we can trust. I want to be able to, because this is a lot of this is based on trust, because there's so much deception out there. And now you have big corporations trying to beat the system and use their term organic when it's not, in fact, organic. So when we see that label, it's definitely organic or organically grown.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, that's such a great kind of benefit of the people who are interested in the agri-hoods. I think, you know, people are so removed from their food system now. A lot of people grow, you know, are in urban areas now. They think food comes from the grocery store. I talk to so many people who have never even stepped foot on a farm. A lot of people don't necessarily have the benefit of being able to talk to their local farmer about their practices. That's something that, you know, if you're in an agri-hood, not only do you have the ability to do that, you can probably also participate in the actual farm and learn more about the growing practices. But the great thing about the USDA organic seal is for all the people who don't have that opportunity, you know, busy moms and dads who are grabbing stuff off grocery store shelves, they still can know something about the health of that product and how it's going to impact their family, but also the environment and the climate.
Sure. And I'm glad you brought that up, because in talking to the farmers around the country at these different agri-hoods, they have all said the same thing, that organic is a process. To be certified, it costs money. And I believe, isn't there a three-year period you have to grow organically before you become certified?
Yes, that is correct. So there's a three-year transition period from the last time you used any prohibited inputs, which basically means using a GMO or an herbicide or a fertilizer.
Okay. And then the next thing we found is that, so there, it seems as if, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we're still learning, is that you have traditionally grown foods with pesticides, herbicides. Then you have the middle, which is, we're not using any chemicals, but we're not organic. And then you go to the next one, which is completely organic. So in the middle there, we have seen this at the agri-hood farms. No, we're not certified organic, but we're not using any pesticides. Tell me about that.
I would say still, you kind of, if you're looking at agriculture as a whole in the United States, keep in mind right now, only 1% of farmland in the U.S. is certified organic. So these people who are using more sustainable methods were still a very small minority. So even communities like that, I definitely applaud them. And they're still in a very small minority of farmers who are trying to move away from this chemical dependency. So I think that's a really great step. I mean, we work with farmers all across the spectrum, from conventional, trying to get them to just do something like cover crop. And every step in that direction really makes a big difference. And I think it also makes a difference for the farmer about who their market is. If you're selling at a farmer's market or a CSA, where you have a chance to talk to your customer, maybe you don't need that label to speak for you, and maybe certification isn't right for you. But I would applaud any farmers that you're talking to who are thinking about those sustainable methods, because unfortunately, that's still very far from the norm in our country.
Right. So as a health standpoint, that's okay. So I can feel comfortable if we decide to move into a community, an agri-hood that's not certified, but they are using safe practices to grow and harvest their food, then our family should be feel safe and comfortable knowing that.
It's definitely, for me, would be a really important consideration. I think agri-hood, obviously you're moving into a community like that because you care about farming. I would kind of urge you to do your homework and say what do those farming practices look like. are they good for our local water and soil and the air that we're breathing? Are they good for our family if we're going to eat that food? And is a good farmer thinking about, you know, are they getting fair pricing for their products in this community? I think, you know, this new term we're actually using a lot, Dale, is regenerative organic. I don't know if we could kind of even shift into talking about that for a minute.
Yeah. I definitely want to touch upon that, because you guys are you're leaders in your industry. You're doing things so right. You're setting the bar very high, but not everybody's there yet. As you know, that you've been involved with this long enough to know that you just said it a second ago, not everybody's there yet. So we're taking steps to get there. So that's why I'm asking these questions. Then your answers are spot on, very informative. So we just want to know the questions we should be asking when we go to these agri-hoods. First thing is, are you certified organic? Most are going to say no. Got it. Okay. So then from that point, share with us, Diana, what are some great questions? Maybe give us 5 to 7 questions that we should be asking to ensure this food is healthy, optimal eating for our family.
Yeah, I love that. Let's talk about that. I definitely would want to ask about the growing practices. So if it's important to you about GMOs, I would say, are you using GMOs in your farming? I would want to know what kind of chemicals are you using on your farm? Are you using pesticides and herbicides? I would want to know what kind of rotation are you using? Do you make sure, you know, a farm that's just monocropping corn or soybeans, that might not be having a great benefit for the community that you're looking for. You know, what happens to the food that you wear? Is it staying locally? How far is it getting shipped? I would want to know, how are you encouraging biodiversity on your farm? What are you doing to encourage pollinator habitats? You know, the birds and the butterflies and the bees. Are you maybe planting milkweed so that when monarch butterflies come through, they have a habitat? How are you encouraging the biodiversity in the soil? So feeding this microbial community that's so important for soil health. I think those are some important questions. For farms that have animals, I would want to know, are those animals outside, access to the outdoors, out on pasture? Are they? Are you just giving all of them antibiotics and growth hormones? How are you treating these animals? You know, what are their conditions like? Are they being humanely treated? I think that those are some important questions. And I think, for me, I would want to know, are there ways for us to participate? What does the community look like on the farm? How are your workers treated? Are their wages fair? And are there ways for me to get involved in learning about the food, my family, and participating on the farm? Might be a couple of starter questions I would have to kind of get a better idea of, is this farm really a good fit for our local community?
Great questions. Those are really great questions. Very helpful. Let's talk about something you had mentioned. Corn and soybean. You said it's not the best. You said so. Let's back up to that corn and soybean topic you just talked about for a second.
Sure. So I'm going to throw a figure at you. Right now, 70% of the United States is just in grains. The majority is corn and soybeans. So I think there's a little bit of disconnect when people think about farmers. They think farmers are growing us food. But actually, a lot of that corn and soybean production is going to animal feed, to gasoline like ethanol, and to high fructose corn syrup. A lot of these farms are actually producing. And unfortunately, since all we've really asked farmers to do in a country is grow the cheapest crops possible, a lot of times those are being grown in a destructive way. So just monocropping corn or soybeans, meaning that's the only crop you grow on your land year after year. Those crops are very resource intensive. So they require a lot of fertilizer. They're almost always GMO to resist glyphosate. So they're getting sprayed with Roundup and glyphosate. So you're having all of this, when it rains, those chemicals wash into the waterways and end up creating dead zones that really harm wildlife and harm our drinking water. What we're seeing in these communities, you look at the Midwest, there's communities where they're having blue baby syndrome from chemicals in the drinking water are having that much of a literal impact on the health of the population that live there. So this is some of the issues we're trying to combat as an organization like Rodale Institute. How do we move away from these monocrops that take lots of chemical inputs that are really taking the life out of the soil and contaminating the planet? They're not really providing a lot of food for our communities. You see in the Midwest, in these communities, there's actually a lot of food deserts. The farmers aren't even being able to have nutrient-dense food in their communities. And then how do we kind of shift away from that to something that encourages biodiversity? So it basically encourages life above and below the soil.
Excellent. As you're talking, you know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking that every farmer, that's part of an agri-hood, and I'm not limiting to agri-hoods, but people should, in my opinion, learn as much as they possibly can about what you're teaching. Are there ways that they can get in touch with you to learn, say, hey, look, we're getting ready to open up this agri-hood, or we want to improve our agri-hood farming system. Can we come out to your farm to take a class, a course? What's that about? What's that process
like?
Yeah,
that's a great question. So one of our big focus areas at Rodale Institute is education. We really want to work with farmers, especially conventional farmers who are looking to transition to organic, and they're kind of trying to figure out a roadmap of what does that look like. So we have feed days at our site. Our headquarters is in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. So we offer field days, we offer workshops, a number of training programs for folks that want to come out and work with us. But we also have online options like webinars. And something that's really exciting that we're working on right now is regional resource centers. So one of the things that we've realized is we need satellite locations at other parts of the country. And one reason that that's really important is because when you're talking about growing organically in Georgia or Colorado or Montana, they have different soil types, different climate, different crops that they're growing. In the South, you might be growing organic cotton. We're not growing that in Pennsylvania. So what we realized is we need these satellite hubs, these kind of mini Rodale Institutes in other parts of the country where we can do research on their local conditions, but also that training and outreach to farmers in the area. So I'm excited that we already launched our first regional resource center. We just launched it about a month ago. So it's very new. It's out in Iowa, and we're working on other centers around the country right now.
It's in Iowa, you said? Where in Iowa is it?
It's in the Cedar Rapids area.
Okay. Before I forget, because I do forget sometimes, before I forget this question, how can people learn more about Rodale? Send them to your site, follow Instagram, social media, share with us.
Absolutely. So our website is rodaleinstitute.org. It's a really great resource, especially if you're new to organic. We have an entire section that's called Why Organic on our website that just really walks you through what is organic? What are the farming practices? How does something like organic relate to big picture issues like human health or climate change? So that's a really great resource.
Can you spell that for us?
And all of our
website.
Yep, it's Rodale Institute, which is R-O-D-A-L-E, and then Institute, I-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-E.org.
Perfect. Social media. Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, we have a community of over 50,000 people on our Facebook page. We're on Instagram and Twitter, YouTube. We have a really great email list that you can join. All of our resources for the most part are free. So there's a lot of great education materials we're pushing out to farmers, but also just conscious eaters and consumers.
Right on. Why is it you pay more for organic foods if it takes less chemicals to make that food, produce that food?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think part of it right now is just the issue of scale and supply and demand. So like I mentioned before, only 1% of our farmland in the United States is organic. Right now, 5% of the food we eat in the United States is organic. Actually, 14% of the produce we're eating in the U.S. is organic. So part of it is a little bit of a lag with the supply. We're even importing a lot of our organic food. That being said, it's a really great opportunity for farmers in the U.S. to get into that market. And I think since organic is still small, we can't take advantage of all the opportunities of scale. I don't think people realize, but in organic, not only does the farm have to be organic and the crop, but basically the entire supply chain. So organic grains need to go in their own trucks to their own grain elevator. They need to have their own certified processing facilities. So it's organic from all the way from the farm all the way to what you see in the grocery store. So right now it's still a challenge for some farmers. Let's say your closest organic grain mill is a couple hundred miles away. That's going to add a cost for farmers. So I think as we continue to scale organic, it's going to become more accessible and more affordable for more families. And we're getting there. The other thing I would mention about the difference between organic and conventional ag. In conventional ag, you're paying a lot of money for inputs, buying GMO, buying fertilizers, buying pesticides. In organic, you're paying more of your cost towards labor. So, there is a great benefit to that. You can employ more people in your local community because an organic farm is more labor intensive. You might actually have to wait instead of just spraying for weeds. So that's kind of an example of how you actually, most organic operations would need to employ some more staff.
The biggest thing I'm hearing is that the big corporations are finding loopholes to beat the system and say it's organic when in fact it's not 100% true. Share with us what that might look like.
Organic, one of the things, it is growing. So there's a lot more corporate interest in organic, which, can be good and bad. But right now, the top two places in the country that sell organic food, I think you'll be surprised. One of them is Costco and one of them is Walmart. One of the pros of that means, a community where people are doing their grocery shopping at Walmart, they might have access to organic food for the first time at a price point that they can afford. One of the cons of that are when some of these bigger companies come into the organic movement, they're different than the farmers who've been there for 20, 30, 40 years. The people who originally got into the organic movement, it was all about the philosophy. It was because they believed it was the right thing to do. Now there's corporations coming into the organic market who see, the dollar signs. So this is something that's growing and consumers want to buy. So that being said, there's a whole political side to this where the standards for organic are run through the National Organic Program, which is actually a federal program under the USDA. And there are some corporations who are working to kind of weaken those standards under the USDA. But then there's also a lot of folks like us at Rodale Institute who are equally at that table fighting to keep them really strong. So that's kind of where we live in this environment where we have to keep protecting that seal so that consumers can trust it and that we can support farmers who are really going the extra mile to do the right thing.
You really are improving the health and well-being of people on the planet through your organic leadership, and that's huge. Big applause to you. Can we visit that farm? Is there a way that people can come out for the day and see what you guys are doing and get a firsthand look at this?
Yeah, absolutely. So Rodale Institute is open to the public 7 days a week you can come out for an event. We have a garden store. We have a visitor center. We offer tours. So we definitely encourage people to come find us. We're only about an hour from Philadelphia or 2 hours from New York City. So we want people to come out and kind of see firsthand. When we talk about regenerative agriculture, when we talk about organic agriculture, what does that actually look like? And what does that actually mean? Because we believe that that's the future of farming. And we need to get more people on board to kind of understand what that looks like.
You know what, as you're saying this, I'm thinking about our schedule. And usually we wind up on the East Coast around October. We're going to take you up on that invite. We're going to pull up. We're going to get the cameras out. We're going to interview
Absolutely.
You. We'll see, we can meet in person, face to face. You guys have a top-notch organization, 5 stars across the board. How did you get involved with this? Before I let you go, I have to ask you, I'm going to guess you're in your mid-20s, late-20s? You sound
yes,
as if...
Yes, I am.
Okay. I've been around long enough to kind of pick up on it. A generalization of somebody's age. You have I'm listening to you and I'm thinking this woman has so much knowledge, but I don't think she's got any older than 30. How did you acquire so much knowledge in such a short time?
Well, definitely working at Rodale Institute is a huge help. I think about every day I look around and I'm like, this is my office. I'm surrounded by, you know, world-class research scientists. We have our own animal husbandry folks, beekeepers on staff. Just surrounded by that much expertise, I think if you're a lifelong learner, you really start to pick it up. But I think in general, I see a lot of actually the people who are really leading the organic movement are millennials. So right now, the number one consumer of organic is millennials. And the number one reason people start buying organic for the first time is when they're pregnant with their first child. So a lot of young families are involved in this movement. And I think it's just in general, we have a new class of consumer and millennials, they're asking more questions about where their food comes from, and they want more transparency, and they want to support with their dollars things that align with their values. So I think we'll continue to see this new generation coming up and saying, I'm willing to pay more for food that I know is doing the right thing for the climate, doing the right thing for my health. So I would say I see a lot of other also young people in this movement who are going out and learning more about how does the food I eat impact the world around me.
You know, 100% correct. Spot on. You have major developers in our country who recognize the new buyer are the millennials, and they're sinking gazillions of dollars into the agri-hoods around the country, catering to that new buyer who wants something different than a golf course. Not all of them. I'm saying some of, you know, as a whole, they want to be connected socially to neighbors and to a reliable source of food. Then what happened is, as we're discovering, once these agri-hoods started popping up, the developers recognized, wait a minute, it's just not millennials. There's people all across the board who are on board with this movement, I should say, right? And want something healthier options. And agri-hoods is now getting bigger and creating momentum among multi-generations of people.
It makes a lot of sense to me. I think people are looking for that connection again to what's real. I think we've moved really far into this digital society, and I think some people are ready to rein it back in. And what's something I can really experience and see and be part of, and they want that community feeling. I think the opportunity with agri-hoods to actually connect more people to sustainable agriculture is huge, because I think one of the reasons we've gotten in the situation that we have is because people have become very disconnected to their food. It was able to get very corporate and mechanized and just driven by the cheapest prices. And, you know, with that, we're paying the price now. And I think if more people were connected in their mind when they think about farming, they think about people outside growing vegetables and having animals outdoors and something that's healthy and something that's really thriving. And that's not where we've really gone with agriculture as a country. So I think the agrihood has such a huge potential to reconnect people to the source of their food.
100% agree with you on that. Dinah Martin, you're a rock star. You know that, don't you?
Thank you so much for having me on. It's just so interesting to hear what you guys are doing, and definitely can't wait for you to come out and visit us later this year.
Okay. Between now and then, though, I'm going to have you back on to talk about some more stuff you guys are doing over there. So I'm going to reach back out to you. We're doing a big circuit down here in Texas right now. We'll be back in Arizona in a couple of weeks, but I want to reach back out to you because you said some things today that sparked some interest and people want to hear from you again. So we're going to invite you back on here within the next, 4 to 6 weeks. How's that sound with you?
That sounds great. We'd love to talk more.
All right, Dinah. Have a great day. Thank you so much for what you're doing. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
If healthy and sustainable living is important to you and your family, join the Coleman family as they travel the country and discover some of the best agri communities in America.